Mihi Nui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to Keep Auckland Beautiful on 104.6 Planet FM. My guests today are from the Mangere East Family Centre. Good morning, Justine, and good morning, Koya.
Morning,
Rick. Good morning, Rick.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So first of all, tell me, what is the Mangere East Family Centre and what services do you offer? Just broadly, just the kind of elevator pitch.
Sure. So our organisation is a community organisation. We've been going for 21 years in Mangere East. We've got an early childhood centre, which has, I think, a licence for 65 children.
Wow, okay.
At the moment, we've just had a little extension there.
Mm-hmm.
We have social workers in the local schools, local primary schools in Mangere, and we have community social workers that work with other families who don't have kids at the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We have a men's shed.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Do you want to talk about that,
yeah,
Claire?
Yeah, the men's shed in Mangere, that's been going for about 14 years, and it's a part of our services is to kind of bring people together that's looking for something special to do in their spare time. We have a lot of community groups that come in there also and work on projects.
Right, so this is a well-established organization.
It is, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Peter Sykes is our manager, CEO, and he's been in the community for a long time. And our parenting engagement is the other one. We don't want to forget
that's
him.
Right.
And then, of course, there's Talking Rubbish, which is Koya and I.
Talking Rubbish. Is that the official name?
It is.
I like it.
It is now.
I like it. So, let's talk rubbish.
Okay. Last year is when the Mangere East Family Services had a contract with the Auckland Council, who saw fit enough to provide a contract for the centre. And Peter Sykes was excited to get that up and running in the centre. So he interviewed some of our people that applied for the job as waste minimization facilitators for mm-hmm. the Auckland Council. And he got us on board. And so we're just part of this Talking Rubbish team. We're just excited about our community and the vision that Peter has, or the centre has for Mangere East and Otahuhu local boards.
Mm.
Awesome. And what exactly are you out there doing with your project? You're obviously doing some community outreach because I see you're wearing a WasteWise Advisor T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done a range of things, actually. We've done a lot of waste minimization workshops in the community. So for community groups and organizations, anyone that's interested in learning how to make less rubbish at home, how to recycle properly, how to compost or use a worm farm or bokashi. We've been going out and teaching people how to do that. Mm. We've been to quite a few community events and festivals and mm-hmm. Given them some advice on how to manage rubbish at the event. So we were at one on the weekend that had 5,000 people and we...
That was fantastic.
We were sorting rubbish for 8 hours. So
oh, joy.
It was a busy day. But just kind of getting those community event organisers in the community thinking about how they could reduce waste through their event, and also as an opportunity to talk to locals about what to do at home and you know what their rubbish is made of and what happens to it. And
because for a lot of event organizers, waste is just another expense on the bottom line, and I don't worry about it because the bags just get collected and I pay a bill.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas you can actually reduce that bill.
Yes.
As well as make an impact in the community because you're educating.
Mm. Yeah, and feel good about your event because. Look how much, 80% of your waste was diverted from landfill. So that's a great thing for people to be able to say about their event as well.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Right. Now, are most of your workshops targeted at households and householders?
That's our contract. We also are just trying to connect up because there are other people, particularly employed by council, working in schools and early childhood centres mm-hmm. and targeted around compost, and so we're trying to link up those people as well so that we're all on the same page and we're all kind of working together more effectively. because, you know, you can't really separate out schools and residents, because residents have children that go to schools. So we also link in with the schools and those groups as well. So it's kind of about having a coordinated approach to waste minimization.
And the nag factor is very effective. If the children are coming home saying, no, Mummy, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So you've got to make sure your message is aligned.
Exactly, yes.
So just last Thursday, for instance, we're at one of our local schools, Central School. And twice a term they have a activity where they bring the children in along with their parents, and it gave us an opportunity to tap in with our parents the other night, and to a lot of them just pleasantly surprised about the message we had to share with them. But it's really informing our community about some of the changes, major changes that are coming up with our rubbish.
That's right.
Waste streams.
Because, yes, South Auckland in particular is having, it's a radical shift from what used to be. Yeah, West Auckland and South Auckland, are having the biggest trauma in that regard. Well, it is. I mean, it's something you take for granted. It happens in the background, you know, the rubbish collection. Mm-hmm. And it's a habit to buy the bags, which is what I believe you're doing in South Auckland.
That's right.
Papakura is paying for their rubbish at the moment through the rubbish bags, which they purchase at the shops, from Mangere down to Takanini. Is the first time that this area is going to be paying for rubbish. We've never done it before. At the moment, we still have black rubbish bags.
And you can put out as many as you like.
Yeah,
right. and they're about to get a red bin, which is paper tip.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Gotcha. Okay, that's the change that's happening in your part of the woods.
That's right. And we'll have a food waste bin as well.
That's right.
Yeah, people can separate out the food.
Auckland Council wants to bring everybody into alignment. So if they were to move from Manurewa, say, to North Shore, the same waste bins will be there.
That's right.
So they're just bringing everybody into alignment.
That's right. It'll be color coordinated across Auckland. That's the plan. The only one who will have bags are people in apartments.
Okay.
Who don't have bins.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll buy bags because it's paper tip.
Yep.
But that's already happening in Auckland Central. It's already starting to happen in some of the farther flung places where high rises are going up. It didn't have them historically.
Okay.
But you're right, everything's getting harmonized, and I think by the end of 2017 we'll all be on the same page. I think that's the plan.
That's the plan. That's the aim. Yeah. And the inorganic collection is changing as well, so that's something that we're particularly focusing on at the moment, because
it's been making the news, of course.
We will have our collection in Mangere or Tahuhu around February, March next year. So we're just getting people ready for that change as well.
Right, and there'll be a 2-week window and you'll have to make an appointment, right?
You'll get a flyer in your letterbox and you have to book the truck to come and pick up your inorganics, and you'll be putting it inside your property rather than on the street.
Yep. Just
and it's only
always
1 cubic meter.
I know.
Which is the big change as well.
I know. It is a big change. But it bears repeating. I mean, it's about the fourth time I've said it on this show, just because various people will tune into this show at various times, but it's going to be the same for all of us. We're all going to go through that transition.
That's right.
Yeah, we had our last inorganic in Auckland Central, I guess it's about 6 or 8 months ago. And that's it. Next time it'll be on the phone.
So it is a booking system, and it's up to those people when the collections are done in that area during those months, then it's up to them to ring up to the council with the 0800 number and to book for 2 trucks to come around. One will take away the good stuff.
For recycling?
Yep. For repurposing. And
repurposing is a better word.
And the other one will, of course, go straight to landfill.
Right, now I have a question for you. How often does language become a barrier and or an opportunity in your work?
Yeah, there are a lot of people with English as a second language. We found we did a door knocking campaign last year around the Recycle Right campaign that the council had, and certainly language is a barrier. We did train up local waste champions who came with us or came partnered with the council so that they could be available to interpret and, you know, explain in the family's own language. We can't always cover all the languages, as it can be an issue. But obviously the main ones we have in our area would be Samoan, Tongan, Hindi. Any other?
Chinese.
Yeah.
So it's in Mangere there, we have the whole world.
You've got the whole world in Mangere.
The whole world's there. And so, language is a barrier. But we try and best we can to cover those areas, particularly having the waste champions alongside us to, translate and going to churches too. In churches, we become more responsible for their waste that they create in their churches.
Which sets an example for
for sure.
For a whole community, whole segment of the community.
So it's up to us to kind of tap into these churches and work with the youth. It's the youth that will drive programs throughout the churches. So it's working with those advisors and having the message being from bottom down, I suppose you can say, with our youth leading the charge.
That's great. So are either of you bilingual or trilingual? Or?
Yeah. Well, we try and, we know the Hello languages and the in various
the basic
cultures.
Greetings.
Koya's proficient in te reo, I would say.
Yeah, we go in te reo, but we do have a Māori side of waste minimisation sector, which council supports also, and that's the Hua Parakore group that goes into marais. They go into kohanga reos and also to high schools and those Māori high schools in our area.
Right. Well, I'm going to take a complete segue in another direction and ask you, what do you think of the recent announcement of getting all Aucklanders to speak some te reo at least?
Well, I think it's great. Coming from a Māori perspective, it's whenever I go into a country, of course, it's respecting the people of that land.
Sure.
And starting off with my introductions, if I went to Cook Islands, I'll start off with kia ora.
Kia ora, right?
Yeah, being the people of the land. So it's letting them know that they are worth something and that their language is very important to hold on to it. And so,
What I do. Me too, I think. I think that's fantastic. I haven't actually heard that, but
I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. And I was fascinated. I recently spent a good 7 months back in the States, where I originally hail from, and I was amazed how many Māori words had crept into my everyday language.
Mm.
And they're just used normally here, which is fine, totally fine as far as I'm concerned. English is a borrower's language. Very little of original English survives. The number of words that have come from colonial England, from the colonies, is massive. So I think it's a wonderful initiative.
Totally, and it just enriches your vocabulary, because there are some words in Māori that we use that I just can't think of a good English alternative.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, it's great to have a range of different words from different languages that more specifically convey what you're trying to say. Yeah,
absolutely. So, yes, that was a diversion, but language is so important, because with language comes culture. And so much, as you say, there's so much captured in words that just doesn't translate because it culturally doesn't translate.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If it really meant something to the English culture, there'd be a word for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess the question is, how challenged are you by new immigrants coming in having completely different ideas of how we deal with just the ordinary waste that life produces?
I think what we've tried to do is actually to find out how people do it in different cultures, because it's not about, one size fits all and imposing a way of composting on people, or, imposing a way of living on them. It's about, what are all our traditions around sustainability and looking after the earth and, how can we tap into those great things that other cultures believe and do, mm-hmm. And bring that, you know, into what we're doing here in New Zealand? Because I think we've all got something to offer. And it's about finding out what those traditions are. What did your parents do? What happened in the islands? You know, how did you deal with rubbish back then? How did you prepare food? How did you, you know, grow food?
How do you store food?
Exactly.
Well, one simple word in the islands, burnt it.
Prior to all the plastic coming in, what did you do?
That's right.
How did you make, you know, bowls out of flax or banana leaves or... You know, what other ways are there of doing this? Because it's not working, what we've got at the moment.
Well, everyone's got plastic now, paper plates and plastic plates, and they're all over the place now. Mm. And, you know, it's taken now, I'm using the Pacific Islands as an example, it's taken them away from how they traditionally what they used to put their food on, you know, was just simple banana leaf.
That's right.
You know, and of course, put that back to the earth and it takes care of itself.
Takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you know that the first mass composting in New Zealand was in Mangere in the 50s?
Mm.
And it's because there was no plastic in the waste stream, except for a little bit of Bakelite, which does break down, the original Bakelite, the original plastic. And it was all done in giant windrows in Mangere. And, of course, when the plastic started polluting it, they thought, we'll put it in the landfill. But for many years, there were massive, basically, windrows, worm farms, composting, because all the rubbish was paper.
That's great.
Or organic. And it just didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just great to hear these stories and to find out what, you know, the stories of what's happened before and...
Yeah, and we're kind of going back to the future because people say, we've got this great new technology. We put everything in windrows and the worms take care of it all. It's like, actually, that's pretty old school.
Yeah.
And we actually used to do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, our grandparents did it that way.
Yeah.
And because it made sense.
Mm.
And it didn't smell. There were no issues with predators, you know, the birds, the seagulls, the rats. None of that was a problem because it was being done.
Yeah.
In a sustainable way.
Yep.
How nature intended it.
Right. So what have you got? What sort of workshops are you offering on an ongoing basis? Because obviously you're probably running the same workshops on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you all?
It's a little bit ad hoc. We just basically meet people through these community events, through word of mouth, through contacts now, and they say, "Hey, come and do a workshop for us." And we do that. We also get our organisation publishes a community newsletter, the 275 Times, which is a fantastic community newsletter.
I've never heard of it. 275 Times.
275 Times, and it's all about positive stories coming out of Mangere. And so we try and get some positive stories about waste reduction or sustainability or gardening through that medium. And then so, you know, that's another way people can find out about us.
So how do you get a hold of 275?
Through our centre,
Right, and is it just printed or is it available on email?
It's email. If you just Google 275 Times, there's a Facebook page, there's a website, and you can get it electronically, or you can find it around Mangere community centres and libraries and
Just floating around like
things.
And of course, the really stupid question from the Central Auckland boy: what does the 275 mean?
Do you want to explain that, Corey?
275. You quite hear sometimes you hear our mayor Len Brown going 274. You know, that 274 Ōtara telephone numbers.
Two seven five
is Mangere, of course. So when he comes out, 275, yo. But, So that's where it comes from. It's just fantastic because everyone can identify, especially in South Auckland. They know the area code, I suppose, numbers.
Just going back to your previous question, we do try and organise some bigger events throughout the year. So last year I think we had 3 or 4. We had a sustainability hui. We got about 80 people coming along to it who are just people from the community interested in hearing about how to be more sustainable and wanting to connect with each other. And then we had a garden hui where we got went to a local community garden, and I had about another 80 people come along to that.
80 people,
yeah,
that's awesome.
To learn about composting and various other types of gardening practices. Mm. We had a garden tour, so we took people on a bus around Mangere to visit all the little
local gardens.
Yeah, backyard gardens and school gardens and community gardens, just to kind of get a real buzz going about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good group of people now that are connecting around sustainability and waste reduction. So our contacts just kind of snowball from there,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm. Yes, and a big movement surrounding food.
Mm.
Yep.
And not necessarily, not because it's locally grown, but because it's local, if you know what I mean. It's right there.
Of course.
Yep.
And you've got families that are hungry, children that are hungry, and there's food literally on the tree right there.
Mm.
Mm.
Exactly.
having learning gardens and teaching gardens, which one of our WasteWise champions, Yvonne Thomas, she runs a community garden, and she's hooked in with the MIT who support these learning and teaching gardens. And it's about having local people to come into to the garden. At the moment, she is getting people from out west here, from Te Atatū and Henderson. They catch a bus out to her gardens, especially to grow their food there.
Wow!
Yeah, it's quite a hard case, but you know, it's about the local people that are living right across the road from there to come and grab that knowledge and take it home, and having us as support people to come and support them with their new garden, which we do.
Mm. The areas of Otahuhu and Mangere East were the market gardens of Auckland,
of course,
they were,
back
yes.
in the day,
yeah.
But before the suburbs steamrolled them,
mm-hmm. The soil is just so fertile out in Mangere. It's the whole of Auckland, but Mangere in particular, you can grow anything there.
Mm. Mm. My first house in Howick, the soil was clay, and you could barely get the grass to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't raise a bed, there was nothing. You were not going to grow anything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, we've got great volcanic soil. You can just dig a hole in the ground and grow something.
I mean, one of my biggest fears is we're going to steamroll the Bombays, which are currently the breadbasket of Auckland, with concrete and houses.
Yeah,
which would be a real shame, given that it's such good quality land.
Yeah. It's all happening out there in Pukeno. There's a big housing development going on. If you go down State Highway 1 and look to your right after you've come down the Bombays, it's just you can see the urban sprawl.
Friends who've purchased in there, and ironically, they didn't realize until after they bought that they're no longer Aucklanders.
Oh,
yeah, well,
they're not.
No.
They're over the hill.
No, once you're over the hill, you're
over the Bombays, you're Waikato.
You're Waikato, exactly.
Yeah.
And which is fine, but
maybe
they were surprised. In their minds, they were still Aucklanders.
Mm-hmm. They're probably commuting to work, are they?
They're commuting back up to Takanini and that area, which is why Pokono was actually affordable and close enough by that it's not a problem. But they still think of themselves as Aucklanders, but suddenly they're... Their focus has to turn to Hamilton.
Speaking about Waikato, down in Spring Hill, they have a modern-day landfill, which is on a 700-hectare site.
Yep.
It's landfill is a big hole, but it's now covered with membranes and... they have the piping coming out, capturing all the methane gas.
So and the leachate.
The leachate's been getting used back. But it's all this modern-day landfill where having the ground covered and protected from 30 years' time, should it spring a leak, a bit concerned because it's right beside the Waikato River.
Mm-hmm.
And so contamination and containment of the leachate is so important.
It's the biggest issue.
Who knows about the modern-day landfill. No guarantees that it won't leak.
There are no guarantees. And, the Japanese are currently mining their landfills for precious metals and rare earth elements because of all the electronics that have gone in.
It's just a waste of resources.
And that actually lowers the leachates.
That's right.
That are leaking into the environment because a lot of these are older landfills without the linings.
Mm.
And so they definitely leak.
Yeah. The aim that we're working towards in Mangere is to have our own resource recovery centre.
Mm-hmm. So as part of that whole waste minimisation plan.
So that local people can bring their waste to one place in the community and it will be deconstructed or upcycled or recycled with different micro businesses.
Whatever's appropriate.
Taking charge of different streams from the landfill, so creating jobs and employment as well. So that's kind of the thing that we're excited about and working towards in all of this, trying to find a local solution and looking for some land to put it on.
Land especially. Right. Is that one of the big obstacles?
Yeah, it is. Peter's got a beautiful vision for Mangere or Te Huhu to, you know, perhaps manage their own waste in the future, where we'll have, we can all manage it on this new site that we're looking for. But that's our goal. We have approximately 15,000 households, 76,000 people in Mangere o Te Huhu, having our own waste champions, like our people that collect the inorganics. You know, having these guys, the professional guys that have been doing it all these years, go out and manage all that for Mangere o Te Huhu is one of our goals to... manage our waste.
Well, I think it's a great aspiration. And as you say, land could be the challenge, since people, where there is a scrap of land, somebody wants to put a high-rise apartment building on it. For good reasons and bad. We have a housing crisis.
Well, we have developers that are coming to the party now. There's a new development going on in Mangere, the Garden Cove.
Market Cove.
Market Cove project, which will be 1,100 homes going in on this particular site. So the developers have got us involved in terms of having a look at putting fruit farms there on this site. Fruit farms and of course gardens around the whole area. So
brilliant.
Yeah, so they are. In their plans, it's all included.
They're thinking about it.
And using local people to grow would be great.
Mm.
That is great. Mm. Wish more developers would think along those lines.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm both shocked and pleased to say we're just about out of time. We've got about 20 more minutes. How would people find you on the internet? 20 more minutes. Mm. About a minute left. Mm. I was thinking...
I was going to say, that's
a lot of time. How would people find you on the web?
Probably best to go through our Facebook page at the moment, which is Mangere o Te Huhu Backyard Project.
Mangere o Te Huhu Backyard Project on Facebook.
We will have a website, but as you say, it's currently...
It's under construction. But what's the URL anyway? Because people will come to this pre-recorded. I think it's
mefsc.org.nz. Yep.
Okay,
well done.
I was running through the abbreviation in my head as well.
Yeah, we've just changed our name too, so the abbreviation is not quite right.
Yeah, we rebranded everything.
We're Me Family Services now.
Me.
Yeah. Because the change starts with me.
Oh, there you go. was the E not in there before? I've only ever known it with the E, you see. Mangere East Family Services.
We've lost which bit? The family bit, Mangere East.
Family Services.
Center. We've lost the center.
Center bit.
Ah, right. Okay. Mm. Oh, well, it's fascinating times. It's a time of change, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming on the show. Keep up the good work, because it's very exciting. And who knows? I'll have you on in a year, and you can tell me all about this wonderful new resource recovery center you're putting together.
Yeah,
because you'll be part of it, the two of you, correct?
Oh, for sure. We're really looking forward and excited about our area and what we can do there with our local people. And it's working with people, working at grassroots level is what we do.
Well, that's great.
And bringing everybody up together, not leaving anybody behind.
There you go. And on that good note, I'll say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thanks for listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. planetaudio.org.